Your head is actually perfectly framed in the bookshelf behind you.
Is it really?
It looks like you've got little ear cut out.
Yes.
You're dressed up as a bookshelf. Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 54 for Friday, the 23rd of October, 2015. This is the show, 23rd, no, it's the 30th of October, 2015. This is a show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos, and I actually read that completely correctly. It's all screwed up in the show notes.
That's because we didn't go live last week like we should have. But, you know, life happens.
Yeah. So last week was kind of crazy. I was sick. You weren't sick. I was sick. And, Yeah. You were busy, I think.
Yeah.
I think you were doing life.
Yeah, I know. That. Oh, man. If I could just stop doing life and just do podcast stuff, that would be... Oh my God!
Well, I did a little bit of rough math, just some back of the envelope math, and I breathe 24 hours a day. If I could find a way not to breathe, I would have so much more time in the day.
Holy shit! You ain't lying. At least, hey, I figured out a way to multitask though. I can breathe and do other things at the same time.
Well, so here's the concept that I thoroughly enjoy every time it comes to mind. If I mention breathing. And then tell you that right now you are consciously breathing, automatically you begin consciously breathing. Like, it's not something that you can actually turn off. But then you have to forget to breathe in order to breathe naturally. Like,
actually, I know quite a bit about this because when we're doing karate, when we're doing katas, we have to remember to breathe. And that seems like such a weird concept when you first think about it. But, oh my God. Like it's such a oh my God, it's such a thing.
So
anyway,
so yeah, like right now I'm thinking about it and I can't not think about it because I'm thinking about it. And of course there's that fear that hey, if I stop thinking about breathing, I'm not going to breathe and I'm going to die. So then it keeps on my mind. Like these are the things that keep me up at night that shouldn't. They really shouldn't.
But then miraculously, once you fall asleep, everything's okay.
Well, I've never had to think about it for more than just a few seconds, so we should just go ahead and move on to the next subject.
So, all right, so you were sick last week.
Mm-hmm. And I had just finished. Well, basically what it was is we had this huge project, and the last week of which all we did all week long was rehearse it, verbally rehearse it over and over and over again. And while it went well, like overall it went well, I still wouldn't call it a win, but... I forget who I sent it to, but it was kind of like the teacher saying, yeah, build a volcano. And we built the most awesomest volcano ever. And then the principal came along and said, no, you were supposed to make a battery out of lemons.
Oh,
you know
shit.
What I mean? It was like one of those things. Like we really excelled at what we thought we were supposed to be doing. It didn't quite hit the mark. So, you know, whatever. But yeah, all that rehearsing and then the change in weather going from 90 degrees last week to, it was like 50s and then 90s and then now it's in the 30s. So my voice and my lungs and my throat and everything else just couldn't take it. And yeah.
Oh, geez.
So that's what happened with me.
So what's been going on since? I'm assuming things got better.
Preparing for an exercise. We're doing an exercise next week. So that's all we've been doing is preparing for the exercise.
Oh, so you're in Korea.
Yeah.
I remember those days. Oh, my God. Yeah, so, all right. So, I'm still not fully up and running at work, so I've got some downtime. And I've been trying to actually do productive things. And one of the things that I decided that it was a really good time to do was update my will and powers of attorney and... fix all my beneficiaries for insurance and stuff like that. And it got me thinking, man, that's really, really, really fucking important for everybody to do.
Yeah.
Even if you don't have access to like, you know, free attorneys like we do in the military, if you at least...
free, okay, free limited attorneys. Let's not just say
right,
we
right,
got...
Right, right, right.
Well, right. But to have a will prepared, just a will prepared. Mm. A lot of people outside of the military, you're going to pay like $100 just to have a will made.
Yeah.
That's a really big, huge benefit that we have. But if you don't have the means or the time or the money or whatever to get a will made, at the very least, write down what your wishes are, your post-mortem wishes are, because there are laws in place that if you're married, for example, your spouse will just inherit everything and automatically be your executor and automatically be like all of these things that you're probably going to put in your will anyway. But there's certain things like, you know, hey, I want my buddy to have my comic book collection, or I want to be buried in this My Little Pony t-shirt. I don't know. If you just write these things down, it helps whoever ends up taking care of your stuff, your spouse, and in most cases for married people, it helps them out. It takes away that burden of making a decision for a lot of things.
Right.
So even if you don't have the time or inclination or the money or whatever to get a will made, write down your wishes and put it somewhere where your significant other knows where it's at. But if you do have the time, the will, the inclination and the money or the means or whatever, do take care of your will. Make sure it's up to date. Powers of attorney, for medical stuff, for, you know, for whatever. It's really important. Just thought I'd pass that on because it's...
And this has been a public service announcement brought to you by Ritual Misery.
RMP PSAs.
There you go. The RMP PSAs. get that hashtag going. All right.
Yeah, right on.
So my geeky thing of the week this week, I actually converted, finally, all of the improv videos over to YouTube. Finally got the process down enough that I could let it go without sitting there watching it, wondering if it was actually going to convert or fail or whatever. And got them all up, got them shared out with the other people in the group. And, a lot of good responses from that. They're still not public yet because I want to make sure that at least the majority of the players are okay with them going public. Sometimes there are some off-color jokes and things like that, you know. I mean, it's an adult improv group, so... But yeah, that was a big thing. That was one of the many things on my task list to do. And it was one of those things where I was constantly trying to battle with formats. And basically, it comes down to this. If you're using a GoPro and you export to the YouTube format, then upload to YouTube, YouTube doesn't like it. It says, no, screw you. So I, did everything up to 720p and then put it up there. Yeah.
That's... interesting that it just kind of doesn't like it.
Yeah, it'll upload it fine, but then it'll sit there and process at 95% for I don't know 2 or 3 days.
Oh, geez.
Yeah,
and what's the output format?
Honestly, I don't even know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you might have better luck if you do a conversion.
Well, I just exported it to 720p.mov and. It works fine. Uploads fine. Mm-hmm. Looks fine. Like, there's no fucking point in doing it the other way.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a Final Cut Pro where it's going to upload to YouTube for me. Apparently Premiere does it too, but I haven't played with Premiere too much, so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, my geeky thing of the week. So last Saturday, went to a Halloween party that was hosted by my karate dojo. And a bunch of us guys decided that we were going to go as DC Comics villains. I was the Joker.
So you didn't have to dress up at all?
Not for personality, but for anyway. So that was a bad joke, and it fell miserably. Anyway.
It really did. Thanks for announcing that.
Oh, shit. So anyway... everyone was expecting me to dress up in the purple suit, the classic, what you think of as the Joker.
Right.
Well,
the 1960s instead, Joker.
Sure, or Jack Nicholson, or you know, or whatever. So what I did instead was I got a an orange prison jumpsuit and a straight jacket, and I painted my face all up like the Joker. Did green shit in my hair and looked pretty crazy. And I showed up basically in chains and looking all crazy and psycho. And it was a pretty big hit. And I thought it was pretty cool. Not only was it cool to get all of us together dressed up like these villains, but to surprise the guys. They knew I was coming as the Joker, but they didn't know I was going to do that. And that was pretty cool.
Mama Collins in the chat says Pixar didn't happen. So
yeah, I was actually thinking about that for our YouTube cover photo, yeah, or whatever. I was thinking about doing a little Photoshop thing and replacing my face with a picture of me as the Joker.
Nice.
For this episode. So I think I'm gonna do that.
So this is a good way to segue into the DiamondClub.tv format. If you're watching the video stream, if you're watching this, or if you're watching on YouTube later, what you see is a work in a lot of progress. So I'm still.
Oh, hey, we're still in beta.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But the next step, now that we've got this working, and I'm not having the audio issues we had last time, the next step, the next incarnation of this will have a window. It was supposed to have it this time, but it'll have a window so where I can actually pop things like this up, and we can keep going. Fully third client serviceable, if you will. We're getting there. Actually, you know what? Didn't you send me that pic?
I sent you one or two, I think.
Yeah. So
you didn't get the final product though. What I sent you was the makeup test from the day before.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so what I looked like Saturday was a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, here we go. Let's see if I can grab this and open it and share it up. There we go. All right, so I'm going to cut into the chat room space here. But there's a picture of it right there. So
that was the beta version.
Yeah, that was the beta. We'll get the official one later, I'm sure. So very cool. All right. It is why so beta? that's funny. Let's go ahead and get into this then. No, oh, not that. This. There we go. Okay, it is time for some TED Talks. Why don't you start, man? Because you've got an interesting story to go with yours.
Yeah, all right. Continuing the trend from last show. I listened to probably about a dozen TED Talks. Couldn't find one that just quite fit my fancy. So the last one that I listened to is the one that I'm going to review.
Okay. So let me ask you a few questions about this one first. All right.
Okay.
First, is it longer than 5 minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like 15 minutes.
Oh. So does that make it better or worse?
In this case, it was worse.
Oh my god! All right, tell us about Cesar Harada. How I teach kids to love science.
Okay, I was expecting a really inspirational, like, oh man, this is why science is so cool, and this is how I can inspire the people to be excited about science and get inspired myself about science. And I almost fell asleep, man. I was watching this TED Talk while I was doing dishes, so I had my iPhone sitting up on the little sill that I have above my sink. Yeah, man. Sitting there washing dishes, I almost just, like, you know, turned on the garbage disposal so I didn't have to hear it. It was awful. It was awful. This guy talks about, I mean, it was kind of a cool story, sort of.
Like it could have been a cool story?
Yeah, but the dude is boring as shit. So he's talking about, okay, the main crux of the story is that there's plastic in the ocean. Like 80 or 90% of the ocean is just filled with fucking plastic from us just throwing shit in the ocean. Right?
Okay.
So they want to find a way.
I'm not sure that's exactly true, but we'll go with the premise. We'll buy it. I'm in. I'm sold.
I'm not saying 80 to 90% of the Earth's water is plastic. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there is contamination.
They're going to get down to the bottom of the Marianas Trench and just tap on it and be like, oh shit, this is plastic. It's not even rocks and stone.
Exactly.
We're just living in an aquarium, man. We're just one big aquarium.
But he's basically saying that 80 or 90% of the Earth's oceans are polluted with plastic to some extent. And
like,
what
by
he
number
to do
or
with,
by volume?
Probably by. Maybe if you take surface area, because I mean, come on, seriously, volume, like 80 to 90% of the volume of the Earth's oceans.
These are your numbers, man. I'm just.
Hey, they're not my fucking numbers. They're Cesar Harada's numbers. Fucking boring.
Okay, so basically this guy's boring and full of shit. Got it.
Well, yeah. So, well, anyway, so he wanted to use these children to clean the Earth's oceans.
So he's boring, full of shit, and he's into child slavery.
Right.
Like this guy sucks, man.
Oh, he fucking does, man. And he doesn't even do a good job telling a good story. Oh, it was awful. It was awful. Nobody watch it. Nobody watch it.
Okay.
Or everybody watch it and tweet me what you thought. At @RM_Del Noche.
Oh, man. That's.
Hopefully you watched a better one.
That's gnarly. I did. Lori Faith Krenner. What's wrong with your password? And of course, it's got password, you know, all jacked up with the dollar signs and the O or zero or whatever it is.
Right.
In a nutshell, she's I believe a Stanford professor.
I thought you were going to say prison experiment.
I sometimes the thoughts cross sideways. And her students went on a journey of sorts in order to find out how the best passwords would be. Going with security and, security as in decipherability and crackability and how easy they are to remember and ways in which you could, you know, have multiple passwords for multiple sites but be able to remember them all and just kind of a shallow but comprehensive look at passwords and password usage. And I'm not even going to try to get into the technicalities of it, but there's some very good points made, and it made me rethink how I use my passwords because I'm kind of I've got like 5 passwords for 5 million sites. The most unique passwords I have are the ones that Safari suggests, and I just let Safari remember them because I'm never going to. So if I ever lose my iCloud account, I'm toast. I'm done. So no more posting in the RAM forums for me. So, it was an interesting look at how passwords have evolved and the thought process behind them and how they're cracked and hashed and salted and all that stuff without getting too technical or too much into the weeds of shit. So,
right. Yeah.
I would actually recommend it.
Yeah. I'm actually interested in listening to that one. You know, when it comes to passwords, I'm a lot like you where I've got only a handful of passwords. Well, I've got a handful, probably 3 or 4 basic passwords, and then many different modified versions of it, you know, adding something to it or changing the character or something like that. And a lot of that has to do with the requirements of the particular site. Like I might have a standard password that I want to use for this site, but, oh, they require 2 special characters, or this site requires a 16-character password,
yep,
or what have you. You know, so I have to add more stuff.
And she actually gets into a lot of those thought processes behind it, behind why they require certain things and what if they don't require it and what if you're given the opportunity to have any password you want without any requirements. You know, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and what I'm really looking forward to is a day when we don't have to have 7,000 passwords. I started this new job right about, I think this was my fourth week. And just since I started my new job, I have created, I think, 8 new passwords. Wow. Add that to, I mean, if you take into account every site that I have, or site or whatever that I have to have a password for, that I have to maintain access to, I probably have, I don't know, 60, 80, 100 different passwords.
Hmm.
That's ridiculous.
Now, the for instance, the password we use for all of our Ritual Misery stuff, it's a fairly basic password. And we use a variation of that same password for all the Ritual Misery stuff, just so that me and you can both have it. Mm-hmm. And I know of, I think, 6 variations of that same password.
Yeah, yeah.
You
probably
know?
About that.
And, mm-hmm. yeah, and it's all done by necessity. So it's, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Passwords suck. Passwords yeah. suck. Eventually Absolutely. We won't need them. They'll be able to just, like, chip us or something, or, I don't know, I'll be able to swallow a turd or something and just never have to remember another password.
All right, well, you're gonna be the first one to test that.
Yeah, well, I've been in the military over 20 years. It won't be anything new. So, yeah, have you eaten at the Chow Halls? All right, so it is it's Halloween for me. It's Samhain for me. It's the day before for you.
Yes, for another hour and a half, about.
Right, right. We had an interesting suggestion by Mama Collins in the chat room. She sent us a link to a list of horror movies from Reddit. The top horror movies.
Reddit.
So, she was asking specifically, how many of these have we seen? So I figured it would be appropriate for us to go down the list a little bit, share maybe a few of our favorites. And
okay.
the very important part of this, how many of these stand up to the test of time? Because a lot of these are Ooh. Older.
Yes, yes.
And,
okay.
And not only... I'll take... Where is it? Hellraiser, number 11. Hellraiser, 1987. When it came out, that movie was amazingly frightening, and it was, like, top-notch. Like, that was the scariest thing ever at the time. Now, granted, I was 10, but I watched that just recently, and I didn't enjoy it at all.
Yeah, like, I recently... Go ahead.
You know, it didn't hold up in quality of movie or in horror factor. Neither one of them for me.
Oh, God. Yeah, I watched recently Children of the Corn. That movie came out in probably, what, early 80s? Like 82 or something like that.
See if I can find it in here, if it's even in
yeah.
here.
Well, I remember when that movie came out. Granted, I was a kid. And when I saw it the first time, I was fairly young, 11 or 12, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Scared the shit out of me. I didn't, you know, growing up in Oxford, Indiana, 1984 is when it came out. thank you, movie man Lucas. Surrounded by corn in Indiana, I didn't even want to go outside my fucking house after I saw that movie. So, I watched it with Stephanie, my girlfriend Stephanie, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago probably, and she had never seen it before. Yeah, that movie does not hold up. It is not scary. It is goofy. It's just, goofy. I'm just gonna say, it's goofy.
It's goofy. There you go. Goofy. There's the official summary. So, here we go. Number one is The Shining.
Great movie.
Actually, you know, I've never seen that in my adult life.
Oh,
yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, I remember watching most of it when I was younger, but I've never seen it in my adult life.
It's more psychological thriller, I think,
right.
than horror. But there's definitely a strong horror element in it.
The Thing by John Carpenter.
I don't think I saw that one.
I don't think so either. See, this shows how bad we are, how awful we are in our movie selection. Halloween. Halloween. So here's the thing about Halloween. I've never actually seen the movie, but I've read the book.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
I just rewatched it, actually, more recently than Children of the Corn. It's probably like the, geez, I don't even know, eighth or ninth time that I've seen that movie.
This was the first horror book that I ever read. Someone had it in, like, I think third grade or something like that, and it had the word breast in it. So I acquired it for I think a dollar, and then, like, you know, it was like whatever, and then maybe 3 years later we were moving and I found it again because it had been thrown in the back of the closet. And during that move, I read it because we didn't have cable or anything else set up. And that book actually scared me a little bit, to where it took me another 10 years before I read a Stephen King book.
Oh, wow.
You know, or 6 years or whatever. Yeah.
Halloween holds up better than most older horror movies, I think.
Hmm.
It didn't scare me, really. This most recent viewing, but there was some jump out moments. There was some, I guess, frightening, like, oh my god, like the anticipatory fear.
Yeah,
you know, where you're like, or like a sense of dread, I guess, because you know he's out there, you know he's coming, and it's like a nervousness, like
no matter how fast you run or how slowly he gimps behind you, he'll always be right around the corner. Yep.
Yeah. I think overall it holds up. Halloween's still good. Now, have you seen the new version though? New-ish version.
Halloween or H2O or whatever?
No. I'm talking about the Rob Zombie reboot.
Oh, no, I have not.
That is really, really good. That one, have you seen any of the Rob Zombie horror movies?
No.
Oh, son. They are top-notch cinema. Like,
see,
they are.
Here's
very,
the thing,
very,
though.
Very
I really enjoy watching horror movies, but I don't like watching them alone because it's, to me, movies in general are a shared experience. I can watch a documentary by myself, but any type of cinema that is meant to be communally enjoyed, I need to watch with other people. And I've had a lot of people, or a lot of time where I've either lived by myself or been deployed or whatever else. So, yeah, I don't get to a lot of these. I just don't get to. Now, the next one on the list, Alien.
Yeah.
Holds up pretty well. Pretty well. The suspense of it and the I don't even know how to. Even if you watched it like five times, it still just grabs you and you can't turn away from that movie. Like, you want to watch it all the way to the end. I watched this one as recently as, 2012 when Prometheus came out. I watched Alien and Aliens. I think that's as far as I got, just the first two. But, yeah, both those movies hold up really, really well.
Yep, they absolutely do. And a lot of people, they think about Alien, they're like, oh, that sci-fi movie. Well, yeah, it is sci-fi, but I would classify it more as horror.
It's, yeah.
That movie is frightening.
Yeah.
That is a fucking monster movie.
Yep.
Definitely horror.
Yeah, that's the movie that makes you wonder what's in the dark. Like, that movie alone.
So, let me ask you this. What is your favorite horror movie? Or what is your favorite couple of horror movies?
Like currently or of all time?
Give me both. I want both answers.
Okay. Of all time, the Elm Street movies. The thought of Freddy, of being trapped in your nightmares and being in a place that you can't control other than, minor details or whatever, and trying to escape sleep, which is something we all need and we will all eventually succumb to regardless. Like, there's a certain helplessness there that I've always enjoyed. I just love the Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
Yeah.
Even the new ones. Like, I it just As long as you had the original Freddy, I was good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the brand new Nightmare on Elm Street, it didn't do it for me.
I didn't watch the remake. I wanted to watch it in the theater when it first came out.
Yeah.
And I never got around to seeing it because nobody wanted to go with me. And then I guess it just kind of fell off my radar. I need to go seek it out.
My favorite more recent ish release would be Devil.
Devil, I'm not familiar with that.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, that one.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's the Trapped in an Elevator.
Yes.
Movie. Okay. Okay.
Because it combines a few things of mine. One, right after I saw that movie, I got trapped in or stuck in an elevator.
No way.
For like two floors with this really old lady. Everybody else bailed out, and I ended up not realizing she was in there until we went down. and she was creepy as hell looking. Claustrophobia. And absolute helplessness while being watched by those that can help. Like that's like all of my fears. If you wrapped it up, if it was an airtight elevator to where you added suffocation to that yeah, that would be God. All of my fears.
Oh my God!
Wrapped up in one. So
Amos's hellscape. Jeez.
Yeah, that's that would be my favorite recent ish.
My favorite horror movie of all time is The Exorcist.
Okay.
That movie is fucking scary. You want to talk about a movie that holds up? That movie came out in
73?
Yeah, something like that. Early 70s. Holy shit. See, that movie is scary today.
You need a second monitor because everyone else can see that it came out in 73.
Oh.
Except you.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I don't have that page up. Okay. As far as more recent movies go, though, The Conjuring.
Mm.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That movie, it's almost as scary as. Well, it might even be scarier, in fact, than The Exorcist.
Mm.
In certain parts.
Yeah.
Like, The Exorcist is still my favorite, and it probably overall is more frightening to me because of the child possession element. That freaks me the hell out. But as far as the like believability and the jump out, holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
The Conjuring is top notch.
One of the movies that gets me was it The Grudge.
Oh,
it was a new way of filming it, and of course it was a remake, I believe, of a Japanese movie. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The original movie was still had a sense of what in the hell is going on, and kind of, you know, that creepiness, and it's been redone so many times in like, you know, spoofs and recreating that same effect and everything else. And none of those ever quite captured that original, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that movie and The Ring, another Japanese remake, both of those movies were just, there's something to them that really holds true. And even though movies after that have tried to recreate that same sense, never quite came through.
There's something about Japanese horror that it just has this element that we don't have in our movies. You know, of course, like you said, the Ring and The Grudge, they were remade as American films, but they're based almost word for word in the script on the Japanese movies.
Right.
So they're Japanese stories. I don't know what it is. I don't know what that element is that it's like you have a sense of dread throughout the entire presentation.
Yeah.
Both of those movies have that. And I've seen a couple other Japanese horror movies that aren't coming to mind, and they're the exact same way.
Yeah.
You just feel like shit while you're watching it. You're just like, oh my God.
I saw one that I watched it when I was deployed, and I don't remember what the name of it was, but this girl, it's so hard to explain. Like, Japanese cinema is just different. And the way that they do their horror movies, it lends itself very heavily to the Japanese style. And I can understand why it's so hard to recreate that with American style. But yeah, absolutely frightening. Like there's no holds barred on that kind of stuff. It's like, you know what? We're just going to scare the shit out of you. And if you piss yourself in the theater, we'll just wash it away. You know, like yeah. We don't care.
Yeah. That's true.
Mama Collins in the chat room has mentioned Sinister.
Yeah. And that I have not seen yet.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. This is the problem here. We need to create another channel of just of us watching these movies. Sinister was another one that was... there was something there the entire time, and you weren't quite sure what it was. And as it unraveled, it instead of like the story like showing you what's going on and you removing yourself from it so you can actually observe, it was another one that as it came through and the horror came to fruition, you got sucked more and more into it. And that's one that my wife won't watch. Like she hasn't finished it and she never will.
Oh my God. Yeah. See, that's kind of the problem that I have. Stephanie is not a horror fan. Mm. She's kind of been dipping her toes into the waters. Like she watched Children of the Corn with me. She watched Halloween with me. Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else has she watched? Scream
for as silly as that movie was when it came out and as teen based as it was when it came out, there's still a couple jump scares in there that screw me up every time I watch that movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just rewatched that. Probably within the last year, I rewatched the entire Scream series. It totally holds up. I mean, yeah. It's 80s, or 90s as shit, but
yeah,
it still holds up. And it's a very well-done movie.
Matthew Lillard in that movie is amazing. Like, he is such a goofy actor, and he's typecasted as these goofy characters, but he does it so well, and he's got a very subtle... art of acting into it, but yeah, the first three Scream movies, the good ones,
right? The fourth one was kind of a parody of itself, which the series itself is a parody of
horror movies horror in general. Movies, yeah, though, right. The genre itself.
Right.
I mean, if those movies come on, I'll still watch them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
yeah,
not great. The least of which, was it Nev Campbell that's in it? Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying. I was a Party of Five fan. All right. I'm going to go down this list and look at a couple others. The Blair Witch Project. I thought that movie was awesome. Well, Scream's the next one in here, actually. I thought The Blair Witch Project was awesome. It wasn't overly scary to me, but I thought at the time, the POV aspect of that movie was very... It added something that I hadn't seen before, and that enhanced the experience of it. It's not something I could watch over and over again, though. It's kind of one and done. But I thought that was great. The Fly from 1986. I don't know. I think that's more of a sci-fi movie, just like probably some people think of Alien, but
right.
It still has an aspect to it that's like, what in the hell, you know, even though that story is laid out to you, like as it goes along, but
sure. Yeah.
Rose.
What about Tucker and Dale versus Evil? Have you seen that?
I have not.
That movie is amazing. It is kind of a parody of horror movies because you get to see the opposite angle because the so-called killer, like the hillbilly killers, they're not actually killers. They're just a couple of redneck buddies that are trying to spend their vacation out in the woods, and these dumbass college kids come to their swamp and start offing themselves by just their jackassery, and they think that the hillbillies are doing it, and... oh, it's hilarious. It is way more comedy than it is horror.
I'll have to watch that. That sounds
fun.
Yeah,
it is fantastic.
Rosemary's Baby was another one that was kind of freaky, again, with the whole child aspect of it. One of my favorite horror movies of all time, and it's not even a horror movie. I don't even know if it belongs on this list, but I can see why it would, because it's a zombie flick. Shaun of the Dead. Oh, my God.
That's a great movie. Like, that's a great movie.
I can watch that movie from beginning to end over and over again, and I'm going to laugh every time. It's just so
Yep.
So
just put
funny.
It on repeat.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. And
Poltergeist. That movie scared the shit out of me as a kid.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it scared me as an adult as well. It's pretty good.
That movie was my introduction into why graveyards are bad. Yeah. Like, I never thought graveyards were anything besides graveyards until that movie.
Yeah, especially if there's Native American remains.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I have not yet seen the remake. Have you seen that?
Yes, I did.
This year or last year?
Yeah, I did see it, and it was so awesome that I forgot about it. Seven is on here, on this list, from 1995.
I don't know if I'd call that horror. That's absolutely suspense thriller.
Yeah, I would go suspense thriller on that.
Yeah.
And Saw, of course, is, it's
it's gore and it's gore suspense porn. Thrill. Yeah, yeah, it's total gore porn, and it's a lot of suspense. Horror. It's pushing the line.
Now some of the later ones did. I thought took more of the horror aspect of it, but overall, I mean, if you're going to categorize those, it's gore porn. All those are gore porn.
Yeah, I think I only saw the first three. I really enjoyed the first two. The third one, I believe it was. Really turned me off from the series, and then I didn't watch any of the others.
Fair enough.
I heard it got better, but I still didn't revisit it.
There's definitely a bell curve there where it went up in quality and then it came down in story. Like, if you caught the middle couple there, they were pretty good. If you're into gore porn, which
right,
you know, some of us are. One movie that I didn't see in here. Let's see, Cabin in the Woods is on here, and I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can see it real quick, and I'm not seeing it. There's one that was redone. Shit.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
No. That was. I don't know. I don't see it.
What about the Hills Have Eyes?
Never really scared me.
That movie's fucked up. Well, it didn't scare me at all. Come visit me here in New Mexico and look around and think about that movie, and I bet your fear level will increase.
In February, I'm driving my mom from Texas to California. So, yeah, that'll be perfect time to think about that movie.
There you go.
Speaking of movies, man, the new Star Wars trailer came out during our little week break.
And that's the main reason that I was disappointed we didn't do a show last week, because we're not timely anymore. Not that we would have been that timely anyway, because everybody and their fucking brother was covering that.
Yeah.
Man, what did you think of that trailer? Initial thought.
I was 8 years old. Again.
Mm. Okay.
Like, every time I see any of this new Star Wars stuff, it takes me back to being 8 years old in a way that the prequels did not. And see, I consumed it in mass. Like, I watched the trailer, and then I watched the two teasers, and then I watched the Korean trailer, which actually includes the two teasers. And then I watched the interviews, and then I watched the New York Comic Con or whatever it was, Star Wars Adventure or whatever. Like, I probably watched 3 hours of video. I watched more YouTube than there's going to be movie as a result from that trailer. So I don't know. You tell me, how did I feel? What did I think?
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, let me tell you my experience. Okay. So the release of that trailer was a big deal because they were doing it during Monday Night Football during the halftime show.
Mm.
I don't have cable.
I don't either.
And unless you pay about $7,000 a game, you can't stream NFL. So anyway, I went to Chili's with my family, and we were eating dinner, and the football game was playing.
Of course.
And so the first time that I saw that trailer was without sound in a noisy restaurant.
I totally thought the trailer was going to come on and somebody at Chili's was going to switch the channel to something else.
Yeah, right. Right.
For what it's worth, I was here in Korea, and we were going to watch it on AFN. We had a little pool going to see if AFN was going to show the trailer or think it was commercial and bleep it out. And unfortunately, I didn't get to find out which one of those was true because we ended up doing a dry run for the presentation we had that following Friday. So I was sitting in the theater, sweating my butt off after having given my 10 minutes of presentation, waiting for the other 2 hours of presentation to conclude so we could be critiqued by all the people that were steering us wrong.
Wonderful. So anyway, back to Star Wars. All right, so my first impression wasn't really an impression because I didn't get to really experience the trailer. My second impression was on my iPhone, and that wasn't much better. I was disappointed with the trailer on my initial viewings.
It's because you needed to watch it on an iPhone 6S Plus.
moving right past that. I was disappointed, and this is why.
Okay.
The two teasers were exciting as shit from start to finish. Like, I would get chills up and down, goosebumps, hair on the back of my neck, the whole nine, start to finish on those teasers. So I think I was accustomed to that. And when I watched the full-length trailer, there wasn't really much of that. It was a little more of a sublime experience. I think what it was is I didn't experience it correctly. So what I ended up doing, a couple days after the trailer was released, I redid the audio setup in my living room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, I'm gonna do this right. So I watched the first teaser with the sound fucking absolutely cranked in my living room. Chills going crazy. Watched the second teaser. Fucking hair standing up, crazy as shit, especially the Chewie We're Home thing at the end.
Right, right.
And then I watched the full-length trailer, and it happened. Fucking hair standing up on my arms. Fucking total chills, man.
It wasn't a matter of the pilot, or the trailer itself. It was a matter of your level of immersion.
I think that's exactly what it was. That movie sound is so important to Star Wars. People dismiss that. Try to watch Star Wars on mute. Okay, all right, whatever. You can do that, right? Now, put on the Star Wars soundtrack without watching it. What's a richer experience?
Right.
Yeah, the sound of Star Wars is so fucking important. I had such a different experience when I had proper sound for that trailer. Like, that trailer is a fucking work of art. So many emotions are experienced when you watch that trailer properly. When I watched it improperly, I just had this like, eh. Okay, all right, whatever. I'm still going to see the movie, but fuck. You know, but when you watch it properly, it's so good. It is such a good trailer. Okay, so beyond initial impressions, what are your thoughts? What do you think? Like plot wise, what are your theories? What's going through your head? Because the trailers don't tell a shit.
No, there's not. But in doing my research and reading about the trailers like that, I've seen some summaries of what many people think might be going on, and while I don't I don't, like, I didn't sit there and read them, but I saw enough of them through my scrolling that, you know, you catch certain little phrases and this and that, and I've completely stayed away from all things Star Wars since then, and I don't want to say what I think because it might be tainted by some of the things that I read.
Okay. All right. Well, so. I'll only, because I've been trying to stay away from all of that sort of stuff, but I will address one thing that is a thought. Where the fuck is Luke Skywalker? He's not in the movie poster. He's not in the trailers, other than his voice is in the second teaser. And I think we're seeing his arm in one of the teasers. Actually, it was in the second teaser. And I think it's also in the full-length trailer. Where the fuck is Luke Skywalker? So there's a lot of theories that go through my head that, okay, he's dead. He's an Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, like in spirit form. I'm thinking that maybe he's doing like a Jedi Master meditation somewhere, maybe on Dagobah, and he's going to show up at the end of the movie. Another thought is that maybe he's turned to the dark side. And yeah, I don't know. It's what I love about these trailers is that they don't tell you shit.
Yep. It gives you a basic impression of what's going on with the movie, like that there's action and that there's different environments, things like that, but it doesn't really give you the plot at all.
Right. And the beautiful thing is you can come up with a million different theories and nothing in the trailers contradicts any of them.
Right.
And it's fucking beautiful.
I don't think we will see very much Mark Hamill in this movie. I don't think Harrison Ford will be seen in episodes 2 or 3. And
you mean 8 and 9?
Well, yeah. I don't. I think that
you know, speaking of Harrison Ford, the Han Solo character, you know he's no longer a space atheist, right? In the original trilogy, he was a total skeptic when it came to the Force.
Right.
It's like, I don't believe in any all-powerful Force controlling everything. And
right.
He's just total dick about it. Well, in the trailer, he was like, it's true. All of it. The dark side and the Jedi. It's all true. Yes, yeah, so he's no longer an atheist.
I think Luke has gone out to find remnants of the old Jedi, that he's gone on like a personal quest with the Force, and I don't think he's going to be in very much of this movie. I think the main villain in this movie is going to be very pronounced, and after some specific items or you know, specific things, and that's where the conflict is going to circle around. And I think that your dogs agree with me.
I was getting ready to say I think my dogs disagree.
But if you ask me like 3 days from now, I'll have a completely different idea of what I think the movies are going to have. So,
yeah, exactly.
I just want to watch the fucking movie already.
Like, yeah, exactly. December 18th. Why the fuck is it not December 18th yet?
Yep. All right. So a couple of things happened this last week.
Yeah. All right. Let me say real quick. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because the one thing that I wanted to talk about is YouTube Red.
Yeah.
Okay, so real quick, just for those that don't know, it's going to be the YouTube pay service, the subscription service, that is basically going to be, you know, if you become a subscriber, what is it, 10 bucks a month or something like that?
$9.99.
Yeah, you get YouTube ad-free.
And YouTube Music.
Right. And you get exclusive content, like they're talking about original programming and certain channels are going to become subscriber-specific and stuff like that. But the main thing that I wanted to talk about is that they called it YouTube Red. Why in God's fucking name did they call it YouTube Red? Because the first thing I thought of when I heard that name is RedTube. Are you fucking kidding me? If you don't know what RedTube is,
don't go there.
Don't go there.
Don't go there.
Yeah. It is a pornographic website.
By supposed user submissions. I actually thought of something completely different. I saw YouTube Red and I was thinking, oh, this is like one of those AIDS benefit things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But either way, I didn't think, oh, paid subscription for YouTube.
Right. So, why the fuck did they choose that name?
Yeah. I don't know. It could have been YouTube Plus. It could have been PayTube, you know? It could have been... There's a million different things that it could have been, but YouTube Red makes zero sense, and I'm not going to subscribe anyway because I don't care about getting PewDiePie videos 3 days early.
Right.
End of story.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's far too much free entertainment out there to try to cornhole me into paying for some shit. You know, I pay the same way I expect our listeners or viewers to pay, by continuing the feed of creative projects on the internet. Throw in some PayPal or Patreon money at people that you really like, that you really appreciate. Or
absolutely,
just using the links that they have to buy the stuff that you know that you would normally buy anyway. I don't see. I don't know. I just,
which, by the way, if anyone wants to support us, they can just go to ritualmisery.com and click on support and see all of our ways.
All of them. Yep.
All of them.
All of them. Amazon, the Apple Store,
Patreon,
PayPal. There's tons of ways to help us out, or just be like Sergeant Muffin in the chat room and have a kick-ass thing that you just share with people and allow them to use.
So, exactly. Yeah.
So there's that. in fact, if you want to go and help that out, it's patreon.com/SergeantMuffin. I'm with you. I don't understand. I think it's just shitty. So, reversing course from things that are really shitty, Apple had some meetings with the government last week, and basically they said that they cannot, and even if they could, they will not release people's information from their iPhones if it's encrypted, and they will not put a backdoor into new iPhones. So before I get into my two thoughts, what are your two thoughts?
I think that's great. I've kind of been in this weird in-between thing when it comes to privacy laws and people getting their panties in a bunch about things like this, because part of me is thinking, well, what the fuck are you hiding? If you're not fucking up, then why do you care?
Right.
But then there's another part of me that, I think we should respect people's privacy. In this country, even if you are committing crimes, you are innocent until you're proven guilty. We have laws in place that there's unlawful search and seizure without probable cause. There's all these things, but the government keeps trying to make backdoors and skirt around laws so that they can search, not necessarily seize, but search being able to monitor our digital transmissions or our phone calls or what have you. And yeah, that's just not right. It's just not right. Regardless if you have something to hide or not, it's just not right that someone can just eavesdrop into your business when,
right,
they don't need to be there.
My two thoughts on this are, one, it's good to see a company, especially a company that I use a lot of products from, flat out saying no. even if it's only publicly, and they're secretly doing backdoors or the, you know, whatever. The public persona of saying no, we're not going to do that. You know, that's reassuring in some ways. And the other thought on my other thought on the subject is, every bit of encryption that we have is crackable. Nothing is uncrackable.
Sure.
And yet we still have things like in the Air Force a couple weeks ago, down at, was it Laughlin Air Force Base, when one of the commanding officers ordered some people to show them their text messages or whatever, and a whole bunch of people got in trouble for private communications because they were unprofessional in nature between two people having private conversations on their personal devices, completely unrelated to what else was going on. You know, like, there's no end to what people will do to get you into a situation you can't get out of if it helps them out. So I welcome every possible trap door available as long as there's no back door. So those are my thoughts. I think there's plenty of ways to skirt around shit and get things anyway. Let's not make it any easier for people.
Right, right. Yes, yes.
All right, man. You got anything else for this week?
Nah, man. I will say that if you're a beer guy like me, you should go to ratebeer.com. And once you're at ratebeer.com, you should look up username Del Noche, and you can see all the beers that I've been reviewing.
Oh, that's what happens, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
And even if you're not a beer guy, you should at least follow me on Twitter. It's at @RM_Del Noche.
Very good. I am at Ethan Kane on Twitter. You can, if you really want to support the show, the best way you can support it is to go on iTunes and rate it and share it. We will be on the YouTube, the Google Play, whatever thing. We've already gotten approval, so we're just waiting for it to go live if it hasn't already. I've been so out of it this week.
It's probably up there already.
We really appreciate you stopping by, listening and watching, and you can follow the show on Twitter at Ritual Misery. Submit ideas in our subreddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com. That's where we got the main topic for today. And you can email us, podcast@ritualmisery.com. Call and leave us a voicemail, 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. Of course, you can find all these links and more ways to support the show and give feedback at our website, ritualmisery.com. Kevin McLeod made our theme music, and we appreciate him letting us use it. And I need to... There's a little behind-the-scenes stuff right there. Thank you for listening. For Kent, for me, and for you, this is your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
All right, that's probably enough time for the music that we can't hear to have played.
Yeah, that'd be the next thing we have to figure out.
Yeah. It seems like every week your audio setup is different.
Because I'm always experimenting, trying to bring something else to it and trying to simplify the process and, you know.
Right, but you continue to complicate it and fuck up what was working last week and...
I don't know why you're gonna be starting shit, man. Like, I
but hey, man, whatever. We're still in beta.
Yeah. There you go. I gotta figure out how to get the sound fed over to you. Like, get my system sound fed over to you and to the recording.
Yeah, well, it usually works. I would say 80% of the time it works.